Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In today's gospel reading, we hear the very first words spoken by Jesus in the gospel accounts. Scholars believe that Mark's gospel was the first to be written down, the very first record of the life and ministry of Jesus that would be passed down to us. So, in a strange and kind of mysterious way, this morning we hear the first words that pass the lips of our Lord and Savior to a particular person. "Follow me." And 2,000 years later, we're still trying to answer that call. But long before us, Simon and his brother Andrew are the first pair of disciples to be called. Jesus sees them doing their job. They're casting their nets. They're fishing. Mark doesn't give us any of the details of this story. He doesn't tell us what Jesus and the brothers may have seen in one another, why Jesus picked these two in particular, what kind of conversation they might have had, or the questions the brothers might have asked Jesus, or most importantly, how these fishermen felt when Jesus came along and said, "Follow me." Mark skips right to the heart of the story. Jesus says, "Follow me," and without a word, they drop their nets, they get up, and they go. James and John are next, another set of brothers. Maybe a little farther down the beach, these brothers are sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Again, Mark gives us the story in fast forward. Mark doesn't show us anything but the important points. Jesus comes to them. He sees them. He calls them. They go. Now, I don't know about you, but it can seem difficult for me to have an emotional connection with these stories as Mark tells them. He doesn't give us any sense of the visceral inner struggle that's involved in making these kinds of life-changing decisions, in discerning one's life purpose. Mark completely leaves out the process of deciding, discerning, choosing, all the stuff that would be really helpful for us 2 millennia later. But maybe Mark leaves out the process because, in the end, the process isn't the point. The point is that Jesus finds us, calls us, and the call is to go with him. This is about entering into a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. It's not about committing to a particular doctrinal statement or participating in some program. It's about coming face to face with Christ. Jesus didn't say, come, be a Christian, or come, embrace this philosophy. He said, come with me. Follow me. Belong to me. When most of us think about the issue of our calling, we automatically think of something we're supposed to do or some career God may be asking us to embrace. Some of us can get really worked up about it. We might even get a little frustrated that we don't have a better sense of what we're supposed to be doing. God, why don't you show me what you want me to do? What's my calling? How can I find it? Or my perennial prayer, why won't you just talk to me? If I could just hear the voice of God tell me what I'm supposed to do, then I wouldn't be so confused. But here's the thing. The scriptures themselves are amazingly silent and calm on these kinds of issues. For followers of Jesus, the most important calling comes first. Give yourself to the person of Jesus Christ. Know him, follow him, love him, and listen for him. Because if we do that, we will find that life opens up and we have freedom to do the things that we do best, to do what we love best. But we still have to remember that that is not the most important thing. Our first calling is to belong to God in Christ. Isn't that good news? If our essential calling is to belong to Jesus, then we're given enormous freedom to change the non-essential things along the way, to grow and to become. Jesus doesn't have any investment in putting anybody in a kind of vocational straitjacket. Who here doesn't assume that the details of your lives are going to change over the next 10, 20, or 40 years? We can't begin to predict how our lives are going to unfold. An example. I recently read a story about a man in his late 60s. He studied at a prestigious university in the East some years ago. And then he moved to Texas to work on his doctorate. But somewhere along the way, he became addicted to cocaine. He lost his family. He lost his place in graduate school. And he lost huge pieces of himself in the pain. Somehow, he ended up wandering into a good church. When he did, he was so fragile, so full of pain, so full of darkness. He looked like he'd been rode hard and put up wet, as they say in Texas. But the people in that church welcomed him into their community. And slowly and gradually, he began to heal. Eventually, maybe even miraculously, he was even reunited with his wife and children. Now, talking to some of those wonderful people who welcomed him into their lives, he said, I want to believe that my best days aren't behind me and that my life can still count, can still make a difference somehow. Sitting there with his head in his hands, I just can't help but feel like I've blown all my best chances. That's when his wife reached over, took his hand and said, "Baby, you got to take your sticky fingers off that steering wheel. If God could yank Jesus out of a grave, I figure he can make something beautiful out of busted parts." Amen. Remembering our first calling to belong to Jesus, to follow him, gives us freedom to change, to grow, and even to mess it all up and find our way back again. That our essential calling is to be in relationship with Christ is good news for another reason, too. In those long seasons when our calling doesn't change, and in fact sometimes seems unbearably demanding or dull, remembering our first call to belong to Christ will help us become better servants to his people. Ministry is hard. The ministry that each and every one of you is called to by virtue of your baptism is hard. Sometimes it's hard being a Christian because even though you're trying to follow Jesus, people can make you nuts. You can feel like Moses in the desert when he said, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people?" And he ends by saying to God, "If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death now." And we all have those days. And on those days, you might want to crawl into a deep, dark hole and hide from the world. But God won't let you hide away for long. Whenever those times come, think of this story of Jesus, which is recorded in Mark's Gospel, just a couple of chapters from this morning's reading. After traveling all over Galilee, healing people and preaching the good news, Jesus returns home, Mark tells us. But such a great crowd came together outside the doors of the house that Jesus and his disciples couldn't even eat. Weary, hungry, they sit down to a meal, but the lost and forgotten of God's children cry out to them. And instead of sending some disciple to the door to tell the people, "Come back tomorrow," Jesus gets up and he goes out to them. Belonging to Jesus means that his light is there to shine into our darkness. And he's there to hold us up when we think we're too tired or too hungry to move forward. Now, if there's one constant in all of the stories of calling that Mark tells us this morning, it's that everyone who answers the call of Christ leaves something behind. Andrew and Simon leave their nets. James and John, they leave their father. Following Jesus means being willing to change both what's in our hands and what's in our hearts. To leave more and more of the past behind, to move forward in the light of Christ. So I wonder, if Christ is calling you and me today, and he is, because his calling comes new with every new day, what may we have to leave behind to be able to get up and go? What might we have to leave behind just to be able to get up and go? To follow Jesus means to be changed, to grow, to leave some things behind. When Jesus says, "Follow me," and we say, "Yes, Lord," we can't predict where that's going to lead us. And it's all right not to be sure of what it all means and how it'll all turn out. All that matters is that Jesus sees you as you are, loves you, and calls you to follow him.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world, and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For our families, friends and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, especially Marjorie Greene. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted. Let us pray together, saying,
Christ be our light.
For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God.
Pray for peace in the Middle East, especially in Syria, Yemen, and Iraq. We also pray for the people of Ukraine and Nigeria.
For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by we have left undone. And when we left undone, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you into the eternal life. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you all. How wonderful to have Carl with us. You know, he's only been a priest for what, 2 months now? Doing really well. Boy, doing really well. I want to welcome everyone here today, especially those of you who are visiting. If you are new, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a gift. We're so glad that you're with us. You just have to hold your hand up high so we can find you. Tim, you're not new. Stop that. I see someone back here. Welcome to you. Welcome. Today we have a very special presentation right after church. Barbara Pfizer and Marianne Murray are going to give a talk in Ingram Lounge, telling us about their pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela in Spain, and a light lunch will be provided. You all are welcome to come and learn more about their beautiful trip. Our annual meeting is coming up on February the 8th. See your bulletin for details. That will be immediately following this service. We're going to serve pizza and salad. We have a beautiful slideshow of all the things that happened in 2014, and you won't believe all the stuff that goes on around here. We also need you to elect your leaders, so it's very important that you all come and be a part of that meeting. The bios for the nominees to vestry and diocesan convention are at the back of the church, so I hope you'll pick those up. Also, February 8th is Scouts Sunday, and Kirk Altman wanted me to remind all you scouts out there to wear your uniforms. I think that's those of you who have also graduated can wear your uniforms. We have an incredible exhibit right now. It's actually above Tolliver Hall. It's around the balcony. But I hope after church you'll also make your way over there. It is the 75th anniversary of Episcopal Relief and Development, and next week the president of ERD will be here at coffee hour to answer your questions. So in order to celebrate their 75 years, Episcopal Relief and Development is touring this photo exhibit all over the nation. Episcopal Relief and Development does global poverty relief work all over the world, and they are incredible at it. So these pictures are vivid and powerful, and they come with some narrative. And one of their staff, Sean is his name, is here as well, and he can answer your questions. Don't forget there is a Altrea, which is a reunion of the Curcio weekend, this evening at St. Andrew's at 5 o'clock. And we need coffee hour volunteers. If you can bring anything for coffee hour, there's a sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall. And last but not least, we're going to be hosting 3 homeless families. And we've had a good sign-up, but we still need a few more. They're going to be with us February 8th to the 15th. We need people who can cook dinner or bring food, some others who could spend the night, and others who just can play games with the kids. So see your bulletin for details if you're willing to do that. Before we have our offering, we've also have a beautiful Eucharistic kit that's been given to the church. This is a kit used to bring communion to those who are sick or shut in. And this kit was given by Brooks and Helen Brown in memory of Betty Drake. How many of you remember Betty Drake? Good lot of you. She was a deacon here at the church, and she spent her life bringing communion to people. So they wanted to give this in her memory, and I want to bless it with you today. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would descend upon this kit, that those who are visited with your body and blood may be blessed by receiving you, and that your presence would remain with them ever after. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and planets in their courses, and their fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and had their being.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, O Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you send your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, you reconcile us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving,
we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Lord, God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread.
Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God to you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world
and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you.
Singleness of heart through a Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the love and knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God, the Almighty, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.